Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, friends. My name is Stephen Lewis, and you're listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Reverend Charlene Hicks will arrive to discuss with Steve Frampton some of the more important agenda items for the U.S. this year. Tonight, we learn the news before it becomes news. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Greetings, Dr. Nona Marie. How are you doing?
I'm doing fabulous. We're having wonderful California winters of 75 degrees in February. Oh, so happy.
Well, I guess Punxsutawney Phil lied to us over here on the East Coast then. You guys are enjoying warm weather. Well, can you share with us some of your skills that you use at PsychicAccess.com, please?
I would love to do that. First of all, I want to say I work with the greatest psychics in the world on that site with tons of integrity and great talent. I do predictive psychic readings. I do medium work. I also do readings for pets. And I don't use any tools when I'm on Psychic Access.
Well, we can't wait to hear your comments and assessment of the interview in the banter section later. Dr. Nona Marie, would like to remind everyone that you can find her at PsychicAccess.com. Steve Frampton, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Stephen.
I'm so happy to hear that and very excited about your show tonight, sir. But before you tell us about Reverend Hicks and her work, could you tell us about you and your work?
Sure. I'm a psychic medium, which means that I connect with people in spirit. And I enjoy channeling evidence of the afterlife. It's extremely healing for people to know that we continue to exist and journey after this lifetime on the earth plane. I'm also an astrologer, as are you, and I'm very much looking forward to this show discussing the outlook for 2015 with Reverend Hicks.
Oh, so am I, Steve. If you have a pressing emotional need, you can find Steve at PsychicAccess.com. Highly recommended. Could you tell us about your guest tonight, Steve?
I'd be delighted to. Reverend Charlene Hicks was certified as a professional astrologer in 1980 by the city of Atlanta. And in 1985, she was appointed chairperson for the Board of Astrological Examiners. In 1984, she received her certification from the World Congress for Professional Hypnotists, Georgia chapter. And from 1987 to 1997, she received training in mediumship and full ordination from Camp Chesterfield in Indiana, which is the second oldest spiritualist seminary school in the United States. It was founded in 1886. And in 1997, she also trained in physical mediumship at the Arthur Findlay College of Psychic Studies, Stansted, England. So if you would like more information about Charlene and her fantastic work, please visit her website. It's charlenehicks.com. Well, Charlene, welcome to the show.
Tell you what, Steve, we're still getting Reverend Hicks on the line here. She'll be here shortly. While we're waiting for her to arrive, I wanted to ask you about the marriage of psychism and astrology. Very excited about that. Can you tell us what that's like? Because, you know, you're bringing in the intuition to bear upon the analysis, and I think that's what is most exciting about it. How has psychism affected your use of astrology, Steve?
Well, I began as a psychic medium. I was a medium as a child, and you know, when you're working with mediumship, you're communicating directly with spirit, and we're all psychic, so we're all able to tune into each other. But basically with mediumship, we're tuning into spirit, to another plane. But all mediums are psychic as well. Psychics are not necessarily mediumistic, but mediums are always psychic. And as you said, you're working in more intuitively, and you're channeling, and these, the intuition and the ability to channel is really associated with the right hemisphere of the brain, ruled by the moon in astrology. And it's also the hemisphere of the brain that's more associated with creativity. Mm-hmm. But the left hemisphere of the brain, equally important, is analytical and rational, ruled by Mercury in astrology. And astrology is an analytical system. And it's that's one of the reasons I'm a big fan of astrology, because it is very analytical, it's very rational. And really, when you're looking at good astrological insight, you can't argue with it. It's so accurate. Mm-hmm. But I think that they're very different tools, very different approaches, but when combined, they're extremely powerful. And what I find, Stephen, is that I sense something. So I might, for example, be sitting with a client and feel, well, August of 2016 is extremely auspicious for this client. It feels very, very good, and it feels as though it's relationship oriented. And then when you analyze the astrology of that client, you find that you find confirmation of what you're sensing, but you also find a much greater level of detail. You know, what would this person be like? How does the client meet this person, etc.? What would their personality be like? And you can get a lot of this intuitively from spirit, but you can go into much greater depth, in my opinion, with astrology. Yes, so you find they work together. If you're intuiting accurately, then the astrology should validate what you sense.
I find it so interesting that our guest trained in physical mediumship at the Arthur Findlay College in Stansted, England. Oh, what a remarkable program for an astrologer to go through, Steve.
Yeah, and it's an amazing college. I've done a number of programs at the Arthur Findlay College of Psychic Studies in Stansted. It's a really amazing place. It's quite like Hogwarts, because it belonged to Arthur Findlay. It was his family estate, and he bequeathed it to the Spiritualist National Union in the UK when he passed, or before he passed, and it became the home of spiritualism. So there's even a museum of apports. It's absolutely fascinating.
It's going to be very interesting to have her bring these skills to bear upon the U.S. outlook for 2015. It's probably no better time to think about that outlook than right now, Steve. And I just can't wait to hear Reverend Charlene Hicks's assessment.
Well, okay, I'm here now.
Well, it's wonderful to have you with us, Charlene. Welcome to the show again. We're really excited to have you with us and to discuss the outlook and the energies for 2015.
Okay. So, do you want to ask me a question and start, or just start talking?
Well, I think the first question we have for you, Charlene, is this one. What do you feel are the most important astrological dynamics for 2015 that we need to be mindful of as we get into the swing of this year?
Well, I think the most dramatic thing that's happening is that on the 24th of December, Saturn went into Sagittarius, along with Jupiter and Leo and Uranus and Aries, which creates the fire trinity. So last year we had the water trinity. We had flooding and tons of snow and more flooding and rain. And now we have it in fire signs. And fire signs has to do with spirit. So to me, that indicates that we would have a lot warmer weather, more forest fires. And fire has to do with things exploding, things catching on fire, volcano activity. And the most dramatic aspect we have of this year is March the 20th. We have a solar eclipse, and all these planets, and Mars is in Aries, all the planets line up on that particular day. We have like five or six fire signs on that one time. And usually when we get to the 21st to the last week of March is when all the stuff really starts picking up. There's either someone starts a war or we have some kind of crisis, and it leads into the first 4 days of April. Always tend to be critical. But at that particular time frame, we have a solar eclipse. We have Mars in Aries. We have the moon in Aries. The sun's going into Aries. Saturn is in Sagittarius, and Jupiter is in Leo, and Uranus is in Aries. So we have three or four planets in Aries all at the same time along with that. So the most fire signs give at any given time in a number of years all line up. The fire signs will benefit. Those that are Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius will benefit from the fire trinity at this particular time. But to me, that's probably the most significant thing about this year is leading up to that date.
And remind us again of that date, Charlene.
March the 20th, the beginning of the eve of the vernal equinox. There is a solar eclipse on that day, and the moon will be in Aries. Mars will be in Aries. Uranus is in Aries, along with Saturn and Sagittarius and Jupiter and Leo, all in that one day.
And so you mentioned the eclipse. Does it mean that there are likely to be significant events at that time or later on when the eclipse point is triggered?
I feel like leading up to it and the days after it, because of where the planets are located. But I think that it's to that day and the days after it, when all the planets are all lined up. Within 24 to 48-hour period from that time frame.
And what kind of world events might we anticipate at that point in time?
We could have a volcano erupt. Or it also indicates, because Jupiter is in Leo, Leo rules the sun, that to me indicates solar flare activity. And that can affect the magnetics of the Earth and our communication with cell phones and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I feel like we'll have more of this year between now and Jupiter's final transit out of Leo in July is a greater solar flare activity because of the fire trinity. Spirit has to do with things from above that not necessarily can be seen. So a solar flare is not necessarily something we can see unless it's with the aid of NASA. But it's definitely something that impacts our atmosphere and the Earth itself.
Well, solar flares are interesting in that they prove, in effect, that we are absolutely affected here on Earth by the planets in our solar system, by the activity in our solar system. Would you agree with that?
Yes, and especially Jupiter when it makes its final transit out of a sign, because it has such great mass of energy, the largest planet in our solar system. When it finally moves out of a sign, whatever that sign is, it leaves a lasting impression. So when Jupiter moved out of Cancer, we had lots of rain and flooding, a lot of water issues. And now it's in Leo, and Leo has a lot to do, it's in a fire sign, so it would have to do with, you know, either solar flare activity or some kind of explosion or a drought or extreme heat or something that's, you know, abnormal. The last time that we had Uranus was in Sagittarius and Saturn was in Sagittarius, it was in 86 and 87. And here in Georgia, we had a major drought that in the winter months were great because it was like 65 and 70 degrees. We really didn't have a winter when we had the predominance of the fire signs. So right now it's still pretty cold, but as Saturn begins to move further into Sagittarius at the end of the year, my feeling is that would be something that we'll be revisiting once again as a warmer winter.
So a warmer winter next winter.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and the other thing is the solar eclipse that occurs is more in the northern hemisphere, like in Iceland and Russia and up over in there. And because it's in fire sun, to me, it could be something that impacts the poles, the North Pole, in and of itself, something around that area, because there's such a concentration of fire signs. But when we have them that, and with Mars there, Mars and Uranus combined has to do with explosions. So that would be some like either gunfire or atomic energy or something exploding or erupting in some way, shape, or form.
And how do you feel, so these are the universal energies, how do you feel these energies and others unfold in the United States, for example?
Well, for the U.S., because of our chart, and we supposedly have Gemini rising, it falls up in our 11th house. And the best aspect that we have right now is the gas prices have gone down because we had a surplus of gas, which is fuel and something that burns. So with the fire trinity, we actually get the blessing of the cheapest gas I've seen since the last 15 or 20 years. I can't remember when it was below like $2. I mean, it's been so long. So the fire trinity has brought that to us. That is one of the blessings that's come from it, is a cheaper gas for the U.S.,
okay,
which is something none of us expected, any kind of bonus perk like that, but that is one.
No, I filled my tank the other day, and it stopped at $32, and I thought, oh, there's a problem. It hasn't filled my tank, and then I realized that the gas prices have just dropped tremendously. What do you have a feeling on the economic outlook for this year?
Well, with the aspects that we have, a friend of mine who is one of the top people in his field when it comes to those kinds of questions, I asked him how long the gas prices would stay like this, and he said it should last us for a year, which is like amazing for the general American public. So that's a big bonus. But I feel like it's a good year for us. The U.S. dollar has actually made a comeback, and we're doing quite well. So I feel like this is a good year for the U.S. overall as far as our economic standing and maybe slowly crawling out of the pit in which they've gotten us the trillions of dollars into. But since we have the surplus of gas, that's definitely a bonus for our country.
And what do you feel about the Uranus, the infamous Uranus Pluto square that everybody's talking about?
Well, since Pluto is in Capricorn and Uranus is in Aries, to me that would indicate dealing with large corporations and a lot of people like a revolt. You know, Uranus is the rebel and going against the establishment or the status quo and wanting to create, you know, all these groups of people where they've had stuff on the news, the rioting and, the uprising. We've had a lot more riots because of it. The people are just tired of, you know, things not being handled in a certain way, and that's it. So to me, that can indicate more of the rioting and that kind of stuff, just sudden and without, you know, without warning, which is Uranus, that you would never expect it. And some of the most least likely places, they've had things like that happen. And Uranus brings that kind of energy. And squaring Pluto, to me, that is going against the establishment of the state, whatever the governing laws are. You know, there's that group of people that revolts against it.
So do you feel then that we'll see more uprisings in the world, more people standing up and demanding change?
Yeah, because thanks to the World Wide Web and the information that's available, that there's certain things like, you know, like listening into our phone calls and the privacy rights that we seem to be losing, and lots of different things that people are just going to get fed up with it and take a stand. So that's part of the Uranus-Pluto square. And there's been a lot more brought to light. There's a lot more people in even the most remote places that seem to be much more tuned in. And I feel like it's a spirit. The fire trinity to me is also a spiritual awakening. Signs from the heavens are signs from above. So, and it could be like increased UFO activity and things that, you know, the government finally, you know, has to, you know, agree that these things do exist and this like the secrets being revealed. Because Pluto always has to do with the hidden things, the veil. So Uranus breaks all that stuff up. So it's like the veil's lifting and more information's becoming available to the general public.
It is an interesting time when you think of global politics and how quickly information is available, how quickly governments have to manage and react to information revealed in the public domain. And then also, you know, anonymous, the activity of anonymous is increasing, and it's almost as though they're playing a political role in a sense. Do you think that is also something that's described by or triggered by the Uranus-Pluto square?
I would say yes, but also Jupiter's influence has to do with the royalty and kings and queens and, you know, government and laws and legislation. And since it's in Leo, you know, Leo is a fixed sign and likes control and likes to have, you know, the final say. But the fact that it's in Leo now, to me, that indicates changes in education, improvements for young people or children, and a greater freedom. And I feel like the fire trinity, even though we have the Uranus-Pluto square, I feel like the fire trinity brings a lot of new positive things. Very spontaneous things to help offset some of the oppressive negative energy of the Uranus-Pluto square.
Well, it's so interesting, isn't it, to consider how these planetary movements actually affect events on Earth. What do you think of the Saturn-Neptune square that people are talking about, that's sort of shaping up for a little later on in the year?
Well, that to me would indicate, since Neptune is in Pisces, which has to do with the oceans and water issues, then it also has to do with medicine, and it has to do with things, the subconscious mind and things which are kind of behind the scenes. But to me, that could be Saturn and Sagittarius has to do with nature, and Saturn has to do with materialization, whereas Neptune has to do with dissolving influences. So to me, it could be that we're tapping the ocean for different, like, seaweed or other aquatic minerals or something along those lines, or hydroponically grown plants. It could be something along those lines, because Saturn has to do with giving structure to form, and Neptune is, again, water, or atomizes or nebulous. But it also, to me, can indicate that because of the activities we have going with all the fire signs, it can indicate steam, and that the waters are beginning to rise up, or that we may have, like, I don't know, underground glaciers that come present, or underground volcanoes that start acting up, things that are underneath the ocean floor rising up. But it also, to me, indicates some kind of change in regards to food production, or it could be like the big debate about Monsanto and all the, have they, they've all tried to alter our food, or the seeds and their crops, and the farmers taking the seeds that they have and telling them to only use what they've given them. And so perhaps they realize that those Monsanto, the foods and stuff, the seeds they want, they're like poison, basically, because Saturn has to do with things that are at the government, but also Saturn has to do with the truth and things that are natural. So discoveries along those lines about, you know, more the holistic approach or the natural approach, or that you can't, you know, go against nature or God's plan, basically. So to me, that has a lot to do with the truth being revealed, because Neptune rules like pesticides, poisons. So to me, it would be some kind of new law that's brought into effect, or some new change in regards to how they or how our fruit is propagated, how it's grown, and the harvesting of vegetables and fruits and that kind of thing. to me is that Saturn Uranus square could be, Saturn Neptune square could be an aspect of that, as well as things from the ocean floor being tagged, whether it be seaweed or some other mineral or something that is also some type of food source as well.
And what do you think of the dynamics with Russia, Charlene, for this year? Obviously, last year we saw some real worrying signs about Russia or Putin's intentions and actual actions in the Ukraine. Do you feel we'll experience more land grabbing or more problems with Putin and Russia this year?
Well, I haven't seen his chart astrologically, but since Russia's Capricorn and we got Pluto in Capricorn, and sure enough, there he is causing problems. I feel like, you know, since they've lowered the gas prices so much, one of the plans was basically to bankrupt them so that he couldn't create any more problems or, you know, do any more than he's already done. So I feel like there are certain measures that have been brought into control that pretty much negate whatever else he may try to think about doing. So I don't feel like it's going to, anything really bad is going to come out of there. I feel like there's other aspects or other countries that will come in and intervene and stop it before it gets to that point. But the last time in 1981, when Russia was trying to invade Poland, it was in April, the first couple of days in April. So if anything like that is going to occur, it's either the first 4 days, it's at the very end of March when all the planets line up in Aries, and the first 4 days of April always seem to be a critical time where some international event occurs, and it's all in the news, and it's something that everybody in the world sees. So if anything is going to crop up over there of that nature, it'll be right around that time frame.
Okay, so we should keep our eye on the end of March, beginning of April.
Yeah, there's always some major event throughout it. And as long as I can remember, the first 4 days of April, and the Pope died on the 1st of April, then the next thing, the smoke goes up on the 4th of April. You see, you turn on the news, and everybody in the world is there for his funeral. But every year, and then the bombing that occurred in Boston when the runners were up there, Mars was in Aries, and it was like the first 2 weeks of April. But it's always around that time frame where there's all this extra energy coming into the planet. And I think that since it's during the time of Easter, there's more energy coming into the planet during that first full moon of spring than any other time. And a lot of people just can't handle it. When I worked at the hospital, a lot of people check out and die during that time frame. They just can't handle the frequency. So the best way I can describe the energy coming in at that point in time is that if we're used to doing 3.5 on the treadmill after Easter and that first full moon of spring, it goes up to like 3.8, and it never goes back to 3.5 or whatever we're comfortable with. So we all have to shift up a couple of notches. And people are easily ticked off during that time frame. They announce in January that they're going to have new management, but they don't bring in the new management usually till the first week of April, and then it's a lot of people get fired or laid off. And you look outside and all the tulips are blooming. It's supposed to be such a fun, happy time frame. But I know a lot of people are totally stressed out. When I worked at the hospital, I used to dread that time frame because half our department was fired or quit or walked off the job during that time frame. So it made me look really pretty outside, but there's a lot of people totally stressed out the first week of April. That's a good time to leave town and go on vacation.
Sounds like a plan. What about the Middle East, Charlene? What do you feel for the Middle East? Obviously, we have major concerns about the situation with ISIS in Iraq and Syria, the tensions between Hezbollah and Israel, the challenges with Iran and nuclear developments. Now we have Jordan saying that they are going to obliterate ISIS. Do you feel that it's just more of the same this year, or that it can get worse or better?
Well, I feel like since the beginning of time, the Fertile Crescent has been fighting over that one area since the beginning of time. They have never stopped fighting over that one area. They've always, you know, it's like, why can't they just get along? So since it's such a hot spot, if, you know, if there's going to be any problems that are going to really, you know, go off the charts, it'll come right around the last week of March and the first 4 days of April. It's when it always gets really intense. It's really pretty outside. And that's when heads get lopped off, it usually comes at that point. Because the critical mass of all those fire signs has to do with something exploding or a fire being started, something blowing up. So if it's going to happen, it happened right around that time frame.
Okay. And can I ask you a little bit about the U.S., Charlene? What do you feel is the outlook for the U.S. Later this year and as we shift into 2016? Obviously, we're going to have the presidential elections. What's your feel on that?
I feel like the U.S. will be in a much better place when we get to the next presidential campaign than we have been. I feel like there's a lot more information that comes to light, and things will be a lot better for the general public overall. But in the meantime, the fire trinity is in effect until the middle part of the summer, and then Jupiter moves out and goes into Virgo, which has to do with health and hygiene and healing and changes in the health, could be the healthcare system changes again, but changes coming up then. But I feel like overall the U.S. will do really well, that we're in a really good place now, that things are really starting to move forward. Whereas for a while, to me, it seems it's been kind of stagnant the last couple of years, or a lot of like the roller coaster ride. But I feel like economically that we're doing much better, and it's a very prosperous time, and the things are starting for the general public is benefiting for the first time in a number of years. That it feels like that to me, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and things are starting to finally move forward.
Good. Well, we would welcome that. Uh-huh. That would certainly be a good thing. What about people? So when we think about ourselves as individuals, Charlene, and we consider all of these energies, you mentioned that's particularly relevant to people that have a fire sign prominent in their chart. So perhaps their sun or the ascendant, which rules the personality. What do you feel might be the highlights for different signs of the zodiac, different people this year?
Well, of the ones that we'll hear the most about in the news will be Sagittarius people, Aries people, and Leo people. Those would be the ones that have the most fun or have the most activities going on. For the Sagittarians that are born the last week of November, when Saturn first goes into Sagittarius and hits your sun sign, it's like 3 steps forward, 5 steps back. It shows a major change in your work. It could be a promotion, and it also indicates it can be a major change of residence or major life change all across the board. Like you lived in Atlanta, and you get a job opportunity to live in San Diego, and you've always lived here, and all of a sudden you end up moving. So those born at the beginning of Sagittarius have an awful lot of changes going on this year. For the Leo people, Jupiter transiting the sun sign, a lot of times it can indicate it getting pregnant, getting a bigger, better place to live, but also it's an exiting point. You know, it can mean it has to do with changes spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially. And for some people, it can mean a heart attack or actually leaving the physical body. It's an aspect that indicates a death of something or expansion. And sometimes that means outgrowing the physical body. But for the most of the people that we see in the news and the media that are having the most fun or win the most competitions or get the greatest awards or accolades will be those that have either a lot of planets in Leo or are Leo at this year. That we'll be seeing a lot of that between now and the summer months. The ones that are Aries, a lot of the Aries people I've read for or have seen are going through a roller coaster ride. Everything that they thought was going to be one way, and they were happily married or things were working out, all of a sudden it's just been totally just the opposite, that everything was completely changed, and they may have to move to another state and leave their family behind to get a job or you know, just totally out of left field. The best way I can describe it is that for the Aries people I know, it's like they go to work and they come home and there's all the media is on their street and they don't know why, and then they find out that a meteorite landed in their front yard and they can't even get to their house. And everything that was known and familiar from that moment on has totally changed. So the people that are born in the first part of Aries, the first 15 degrees of Aries, are seeing the greatest changes, because it only happens once every 84 years that they experience that. So anyone that has a lot of planets in fire signs, this is a year for things to really happen very quickly. The fire signs have to do with spontaneity. So the one thing I've noticed personally for myself, because I have four planets in fire signs, I've been looking forward to this one year my entire life from an astrological standpoint, because it's the year of greatest change for me personally. It shows if one door closes, if in 2 hours something else happens, and it's four times greater than what I would have done an hour ago. So things are happening much faster, much quicker. Instead of something taking, you know, 5 or 6 years to happen, it can happen in 3 or 4 days. You just have to give voice to it. The next thing you know, you've invoked it into existence. So the energy on the planet is speeded up because of the fire signs. It's like from 12, 21, 12, we've gone into this time frame with the fire signs where if it used to take 5 or 6 years to happen, it could happen in 3 or 4 days or 3 or 4 hours. So people don't have time to worry about what's not happening, just focus on what is and keep moving forward. But things are happening very much quicker this year than they have in a long time for a lot of people. I mean, dramatic changes. And most people I've been dealing with, they've had some stuff that they just had no way of ever believing that anything like that could happen. And it just, like, changed everything and within a couple of days. And most of them were Aries that have come in. If they weren't, they had a lot of fire signs in their chart. But in general, Capricorn people, if we'd like to start from Capricorn, go that way. Capricorn people have had a really rough time the last year and the year before because of all the cardinal signs. And now things are becoming easier for Capricorn people. They're starting to move forward. Aquarius people have the benefit of the fire trinity making good aspects. And I know a lot of Aquarian people that have been in relationships and gotten out of long-term relationships they've been in for quite a number of years, so they've had a lot of changes in their personal life. Pisces people have Neptune sitting there with them and the fire trinity going on. So Pisces people, the ones that I have known and read for in the last year or so, they've really had some people that really healthy often had some kind of physical ailment that you never would have known in a million years that they could be sick. They're like a young person in and out of hospitals, things to do with their personal health. And also, a lot of the water signs have had issues with flooding or pipes bursting. A lot of Pisces people I know have had some kind of water issues in their home or where they live or pipes bursting during this time frame. And then if not, they have moved from where they've always lived to a place that's either a coastal area or moving towards water, to a lake or a river. Aries people have had, I think, some of the most dramatic changes in their home life and their relationships and also at work, that they just feel like they've been airlifted out of here and dropped down to another continent. They have to deal with wherever it is they're at, and they're not sure about how to navigate. Taurus people have been through an awful lot of changes since last year because Saturn finally moved out of Scorpio, creating a tremendous amount of opposition. I think when Saturn opposes your sun sign, it's one of the most difficult aspects that you can endure, because all your relationships and things that you were counting on usually go in a totally different direction. If you had a business, you may be selling it or moving into a whole different type of work so that you never thought you'd be in. So Taurus people are finally getting a break from last year with the aspects of the way they are now and are in a much better space. Gemini people are benefiting from the fire trinity because it's an air sign, and they would spend a lot of time traveling and having a lot more opportunities to spontaneously go to places that they haven't been able to go to in the past. Cancer, along with Capricorn, have had, and sometimes last year was a good year, but this year is better because less stress and more opportunities. And Leo, of course, gets all the awards and recognition. Virgo, as we get into August and September, and Jupiter moves into Virgo, that would be really good because that means recognition for them. And Virgo people work really hard and are very conscientious, and so finally rewards coming. Whenever Jupiter transits a sun sign, it usually represents you see people you haven't seen in 12 years or people you haven't seen since high school that resurface into your life and come back to either bring a message or, you know, but they seem to reappear when Jupiter, there's a Jupiter transit. And it can represent getting a bigger, better place to live, or a major promotion, and a year of a lot more personal freedom. Libra people have gotten been through a very difficult time because they have Uranus opposing their sun sign, which is challenging them in their personal relationships and how they relate to other people, and needing to be out more working with groups of people and be more comfortable besides just their partner, but also learning how to deal with lots of different circumstances that aren't always planned out, and much more, we deal with more spontaneous things. Scorpio people have finally gotten a break of Saturn's not there anymore, and whatever they had to deal with is finally eradicated, or it's, the door is finally closed. Even though Saturn comes back into Scorpio during the summer months for a couple more months, and it finally finishes up whatever karmic things haven't been finished up. But Saturn and Scorpio also can represent things being unearthed or brought to light, things, emotional things that may have been suppressed or buried for a long time, and it's like a time to deal with it and bring it to light. And then Sagittarius gets all the fun because Saturn's now there, and more permanent things. When Saturn transits your sun sign or hits a major point in your chart, since Saturn has to do quality versus quantity, it makes you look at things in your life like if you have 5 spatulas, maybe you only need 3 spatulas and give the other 2 away. You start looking at what's useful in your life, what works, and what's not, you get rid of it. It's a time of thinning the herd, basically.
Wonderful. That was a wonderful summary, Charlene. I thank you for that. We're going to take a short break, actually, and I'll be asking you some more questions after the break.
Okay.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Well, welcome back, everybody, and welcome back to you, Charlene. So we've talked a lot about astrology, Charlene, and it's absolutely fascinating to hear you talk about the outlook, the energies for 2015. I love that summary you gave, or comprehensive summary of the highlights for each sign of the zodiac for this year. But I want to ask you about your mediumship as well. I know that you've been to Stansted Hall in England, and that mediumship is a very important part of your work, your practice. But I'd like to ask you particularly about physical mediumship. You know, it's quite unusual to find physical mediumship and physical phenomena. Can you tell us a little bit about that form of mediumship?
Well, when I trained at Camp Chesterfield for 10 and a half years for my papers, they're famous for physical phenomena mediumship. They do trumpet mediumship. They do spirit card writing. They do the slate writing. They do materializations, which is very rare. That's a very rare thing that's not done as much. But where I went to train there, once you do the trance mediumship, then the next thing is if you have the ability to do the physical phenomena mediumship, not everybody does. They say that one person out of every 100,000 has the right chemicals in their body to produce enough ectoplasm to either get the trumpet to levitate or to produce spirit cards. And spirit cards is probably one of the more difficult ones because it takes, you usually do trumpet first and the cards come next. but you have to sit with a teacher that does it for a number of years. And all the people I know that have the gift to really advance or do the more like trumpet or card writing have all been ordained and served countless churches for years before that next gift, after sitting with a teacher that does it, actually materializes or comes to fruition. So there's a lot, once that happens for the medium, there's a lot that's expected, you know, as far as your commitment to the spirit world and serving churches or helping people understand more about the continuity of life. But I've trained for that for 27 years, and my trumpet has started to move just since last fall. I was going to go to camp, and I thought someone was breaking into my house at about 4:50 a.m., and I woke up and I was listening, and I kept hearing this banging, and someone was like this. And it sounded like someone was banging, and the trumpet was banging around and moving because I was going to camp, and I hadn't been there since March of 2008. And so mine's beginning to levitate after all this time. And I've gotten apparitions before where I've had gemstones appear in my house and in my bed and different points in my life. And I've gotten card writing at different points in my life, and that's the one thing that I really want the most is the card writing. And the trumpet's the first. You have to sit for one at a time, and then the next phase would be the card writing. So, and the card writing to me is amazing because the cards are blank index cards put in a basket with magic markers or colored pencils or gel pens or chalk pastels and crayons. And then they put a top on the basket or covered over with silk. And the medium stands there and either holds it or puts it on the podium and goes around the room and gives messages to everyone. And then in a half hour or so or less, then the cards have been created inside the basket. And the medium takes them out and hands them out to the people in the circle. And it could be a picture of someone you knew that's been dead for 20 years, or it could be a picture of your dog or your cat or the names of guides and teachers and people you loved, and sometimes it's actually in their own penmanship. It's written on the card. And it's really one of the more rare phases of mediumship. There's only five people I know of that can even do it in the U.S. So most people don't know what it is or don't understand it, but it's amazing. And for me personally, one of my teachers that does it, I had been telling a client of mine about Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He believed in astrology, and he always kept a close eye on his Mars in the seventh house. And I've been to the Little White House three times, and in his bedroom, he has a cartoon of the planet Mars up in a tree. And I know that's the reference that he always made to Mars in the seventh house, the house of open enemies. And I told my client about that, and then I went to see Hoyt, my teacher, for a card circle up in Maryland, and I was hoping to get my cat on the card, my cat Cosmo, and he called out all the different names I'd written out on my billet, which is, you know, the message work he's doing while the cards are being formed in the basket. And when he called out Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and when I got my card, I had Franklin Delano Roosevelt on my card, and he signed it. And I thought, wow, he's listening, because I talk about him all the time. So I actually have a spirit card with him on it, and he signed it.
Wow, that sounds wonderful. That should be in a museum.
Yeah, well, in my lifetime, in the next few years, I've always been told by spirit that I'd have a center, and I have enough artwork, spirit artwork, that I really wanted to have a museum down here like they have at camp, with spirit art and those kinds of things where people could come and see that it really does exist and it does happen.
Tell us a little bit about your experience of the Arthur Findlay College of Psychic Studies in the UK.
In the UK, at the Arthur Findlay College, they spend way too much time giving one person a message. There's a room of 200 people, and they'll spend 15 minutes on one person talking about how the person crossed over, you know, they have a wooden leg or, you know, something like that. Whereas at camp where we were trained, you don't spend as much time on one person. You work on proving the continuity in life by giving them a message. And we used to make them sing songs and stuff, which is really joyful and happy. And the message comes out, and you get to, instead of three or four people get a message, and the 20 minutes that we're up there, 30 minutes that we're up there, if we go to one person every 2 to 3 minutes, 10 or 15 people get a message in that time frame. And it's faster and it's quicker. And you have to, and instead of one person and just giving a mini reading, we were trained to give more. So I like that better. I think that there's a lot of people came, sometimes it can't, people come from 5 different states to get a message or get a card writing. And they would come to the church circle, and if the medium spends all the time on one person or 2 or 3 people, you know, the other people get bored in the audience. They you know, are disappointed. And I think it's better if they can reach more people. And that was the one thing that, you know, when I trained over there at the Arthur Finley College, they had some of the Bang Sisters portraits there, and there was like 2 of them. And we were told that we sat for a spirit and worked on producing ectoplasm in our trance mediumship. Our teacher ended up not critiquing my sister and me, and one lady from Switzerland came up and told us, she was a doctor, she'd been there for years, and she said that we had a lot of ectoplasm around us and that we were the only ones out of 50 or 60 people that were in our group that had that. And she said, they will never say that much about what you or your sister does because where you were trained at camp. And then we were trained at a place where they do physical phenomena mediumship because we are physical phenomena mediums. And they look at it differently. They have some that do mediumship like that or physical stuff, but not as prevalent as camp. Camp's got the largest psychic museum in the world, and the Bang Sisters lived at Camp Chesterfield, and they had some incredible mediumship and physical non-mediumship that was done at camp, even more than Lilydale or Cassaday. Camp was like number one for physical phenomena mediumship.
It sounds like a wonderful place. It really does.
It is.
Well, Charlene, I gave your website address out at the beginning of the show, but can you tell us about what you have planned for yourself this year, how we can find out more about your work and the things you're involved in?
Well, this year I'm working on finishing up a book, and it's going to be called Growing Up Psychic in the South. And my top client's going to help me get on a TV show in the North, and I won't say the name of it, but that's the plan for the end of the year, is to get on a national TV show, because I've done 294 different radio stations throughout the U.S. and Canada, and I've worked for the police department on missing murder cases, and done exorcisms on houses, and described the former residents of the Donaldson home and the ghost of Dunwoody back in 2001. It's like the 7th most haunted house in the state, and I've worked the Eastern Seaboard, the Western Seaboard, all over Nova Scotia, and all over the West. And there's only 8 states I haven't physically been in the U.S. So the next step is for me to finish publishing my book and work on getting on a national TV show, and that's my goal for the year. I do travel. I do lecture presentations. I've been to Naples and worked down there. I've worked in Roanoke and in the Atlanta area and different networking places. I have worked for Fortune 500 companies and gone and done presentations to some of the top salespeople, and I did the mediumship in there. And they always wonder, you know, how, why, like one person wondered why I was brought to the group, and when they saw what I could do, it kind of frightened them. But I've done just about every aspect that you can do with the work that I do, and my next step is getting the book published and then getting a national TV show.
Fantastic. Well, just remind us of your website address again, Charlene.
It's charlenehicks.com. And then
wonderful.
Also can find
we'll
me on Facebook.
Checking it out for sure. Well, Charlene, it's been wonderful to have you with us on the show. The time's flown by, but it always does when you're having fun. I want to thank you for joining us and taking time out of your busy schedule to share with us the outlook for 2015, but also the fascinating information that you've shared about mediumship, and particularly physical mediumship. Extremely rare, but very, very exciting.
It is. It's my favorite thing. It really is.
We thank you for joining us, Charlene. It's been wonderful to have you with us again, and we wish you all the best for your projects in 2015.
Okay, well, great. If everybody wants a session, I do them over the phone. They can just give me a call, or they can check out my website, or give me a call at 404-932-1676.
Thank you, Charlene. It's been great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on your show.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
All right. Big thanks to Reverend Charlene Hicks for joining us, and thanks to Stephen Frampton for that fascinating interview. I would like to take a moment to make a few announcements right now. We'd like you to stay tuned for the second half of the show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We'll announce that call-in number later, so be sure to have your pen and paper handy. If you couldn't get to the show last week, you'll find the recorded archive link, as well as archives of all previous shows, on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our objective to connect with as many of you as possible, so please share that link with others. Also, visit the PsychicBloggers.com site to learn about everything from the paranormal to reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development, PsychicBloggers.com. Also, if you are interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to PsychicAccess.com, where you will find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with his or her own unique gifts. Every psychic on the site has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them. It's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access, and if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. Incidentally, site owners, webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading for traffic referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like the show, please invite your friends to join us in the chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everybody, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Back to you, Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Well, I want to come to you actually first, Stephen, because you know, you're an astrologer. You've got an amazing understanding of astrology. What are your observations about Charlene's comments relating to 2015, and what are some of your views on the key energies and outlook for this year?
I'll tell you something, Steve. I actually spent a lot of my time before the show tonight formulating an apology. I was sort of assuming that I would have to disagree with Reverend Hicks on certain points, but you know what? I'm able to lay all of that to the side. I definitely agree with her insofar as the economy is concerned, and her remarks about the interactions between Saturn and Neptune were also very apt, I felt. And, you know, she noticed that remarkable grouping of planets in Aries as well. This is falling on the ingress of the entrance of the sun into Aries, which marks a sort of a birthday of the entire globe. So it's a moment in time redolent with power and significance. So definitely I agree with her comments regarding the economy. In fact, I think this is a long-term trend that we're in now, where the market's going to become increasingly bullish. Prices of stocks will rise, overall trending upward and peaking sometime around 2017, and from there worsening into a slump. And the markets would turn bearish again probably around 2022, but definitely agreed with that. Now, one other observation I might bring to bear here on the discussion regarding Saturn's interactions with Neptune is that and also Saturn's transit through Sagittarius. You know, I think we're seeing a lot of that in the form of some of the airline mishaps here lately. The terrible incident in Taiwan with the plane crashing into the water. You know, Sagittarius is quite pertinent to aviation in general. And to have Saturn there is a fairly blunt statement that, hey, I'm going to deny aviation. So this is going to also depress airline prices and things of that sort, not for the consumer necessarily, but certainly for the investor. And we're going to have some more of these types of aviation mishaps as well. And the Neptunian component of this is what interests me, Steve, you know, because there's going to be probably significant cloudiness in terms of, you know, mystery and controversy and things of that nature surrounding these incidents. One other comment I would like to make, though, is that when the sun does enter into Aries in March, the ascendant at that moment is in a rather remarkable configuration. The ruler of the ascendant is in the sixth house. And, you know, we have a lot of buzz in the news here lately regarding vaccinations. It's becoming an ethical hotspot. My prediction is that this is going to definitely continue throughout the springtime of 2015. And, you know what, I can't rule out the possibility that it won't be for an unfounded cause. Pestilence could make a reappearance as well in 2015, starting from March forward, with the ascending ruler of the Aries ingress chart in the sixth house like that. And in a watery sign to boot, you know, it definitely bodes well in the public health sector, Steve.
Well, great information.
I mean, bodes poorly. I meant to say, sorry, strike that, reverse it. Bodes poorly for the public health sector in 2015, early parts of it.
You know, there's a lot of debate, isn't there, about vaccinations and whether or not, whether or not exemptions should be allowed.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something that picks up speed as we move through the year. There are more challenges there with outbreaks of measles and that sort of thing. But great overview, Stephen. Really good input about the agenda, the outlook for 2015. Dr. Nana Marie, let me ask you about mediumship. When did you first discover your mediumistic ability?
About 8 months ago. Seriously.
Well, tell us what happened.
Well, first of all, I do study with a trans-channel person who brings in a spirit that has never incarnated on Earth. So that's been probably my main consistent exposure to bringing someone over from the other side. And that's been since 1985. And I think it is hard to find someone, I believe that's what your guest was saying, Reverend Hicks, full trance channel it's not an easy skill to find. As for myself, I'm not really sure how it happened. I was with another person who says she trance channels. I do not believe she does, but I think she believes she does. And I went to her house and I suddenly saw spirits sitting up on her, kind of up on her ceiling and started talking to. She didn't see them and I began to interpret what they were saying and to her, and she had guests there and she was doing a channeling session. And I'm not sure why that happened at her house, and I was kind of in disbelief while it was happening. And from that point on, I had three guides in my house that I see all the time. A fourth one has arrived. And then I was teaching meditation classes and people from the other side would show up with messages for people in my classes. And I live in a very conservative town that was coming for meditation. They were not coming for mediumship at all. So it was very challenging for me because I basically was saying to the spirits, I'm not doing this because they will burn a cross on my lawn. And I pretty much got yelled at by these spirits, people's grandmothers, an abusive father in another case. So it really literally just came out of thin air is the only way I can describe it. I have no idea why this late in life, I've been doing spiritual stuff since like 1972 or 4 or something like that. Why this late in life, a brand new world opened up for me. And I thought maybe it would go away, but it didn't. And it's nerve-wracking. I'm jealous when I hear you say that you've been a medium since you were a child. Because I, for some reason, have a fantasy that you're much more comfortable with it than I am. There's still a part of me that goes, really? You know, are you really there? Is this really true what you're telling me to say? So it's still, while it's fabulous, it's also a little nerve-wracking for me still.
It is very interesting. I always love this because I feel that even though we're mediums, we're still in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, as a kid, I was studying for an exam. And there was a spirit lady standing in my bedroom. And I just looked at her and said, I'm studying for an exam. I'm off duty. You've got to come back tomorrow evening at 6. And sure enough, 6 o'clock the next evening, she was standing there.
Wow.
But I do believe that we're in charge. You know, we're providing a service, in effect, to spirit and to people here. And it doesn't mean that we should just be disrupted at any time or all of the time, that we still need to live a normal life. We still need to switch off and watch TV. You know, we still need to sit and have our dinner. We still need to sleep well. Mm-hmm. And so I believe in being firm with spirit about the. I remember actually when I was a kid saying, look, I'll do a deal with you. I will do the work. I will do the work of a medium, but here are some rules. And if the rules are broken, the deal's off.
Wow.
So I do believe that we're empowered to be in control of ourselves and our lives. But it's incredible that your ability, it's exciting that your ability just switched itself on like that in such a powerful way. Because so many people ask, well, can I become a medium? How do I learn about mediumship? And obviously, we are able to open ourselves up to spirit in that manner.
Yeah, and I love what you shared about that, because I am kind of new to the protocol or etiquette of mediumship, and I have argued with spirits. So I'm glad to hear that that wasn't a bad thing to do, about, you know, when can you come, when will I talk to you, etc. And I think one of the things that was helpful for me is I had met a lot of people earlier in the 70s and 80s who were, their spiritual gifts came to them at 45 or 50 years old, like full blown. A medicine man that I worked with, Ed Monatachi, and he was a CEO corporate guy, and he just literally had these fantastic experiences where he was spoken to, and he literally was thrown out of his bed a few times at night and told, it's, you know, you're done with the CEO and you need to walk the medicine path now. And he became a medicine man late in life. And I guess that helped me when this happened to me. And nothing happened. In other words, he didn't have a big ceremony. It just came and got him. So when that happened to me, I kind of remembered some of these other stories of people I'd heard who had sort of this late awakening. And I remember people talking about Yogi Bhajan and Kundalini Yoga. And definitely, he always talked about that people have to come in and do their karma first, in some cases, and go through their lessons before they're allowed to awaken spiritually and serve people spiritually. So he went through getting married, having children. I think it was a baggage handler at an airport. You know, he was just a regular guy. And then he became realized and enlightened and a yoga master, and given the message to bring Kundalini to America, which was breaking a sacred vow of a secret society. They actually threatened to kill him for doing that, but his spirit guides told him he was meant to do that and to come here and do that. So he was also an inspiration in that if you're extremely gifted, it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be from childhood, because everybody I knew that was talented was like you. You know, from the childhood, they knew, they saw things, and I wasn't like that. I wasn't in some ways, but I never knew it, not like I hear you talk.
It's so exciting, isn't it? Because I feel really honored, really fortunate to have received so much evidence that we continue to exist after this lifetime, that this is one step in the journey, and have no fear of passing to spirit. I have no intention of doing it soon. I love life, and there's a lot I want to do. And obviously, we all think about our passing and hope that we drift off in our sleep. Passing to spirit can be very, very traumatic. But once you get there, once you arrive in spirit, there's nothing to fear. And that's that's a huge bonus to live life knowing that it continues after physical death.
Yes. I also think, I could be wrong, but it seems to me that it would be a bonus that you've had so many years to be comfortable with knowing how to talk to spirits and being able to talk to people on the other side. But maybe that's just my fantasy. So has that, have you found that helpful, that you're kind of, that's kind of like your old friends now, that you know how to do that?
Know how to connect with my guide.
Yes, that, you know, you've been doing this for years and years and years. So was it helpful to you to have that, you know, to know that you could do that, say, through being an adolescent and a young adult and all of that? Or was it more of a burden for you?
It was a burden when I was young.
Really?
Because it was quite problematic. You know, I would go to bed at night and I would hear all kinds of noises in my room and different people would turn up. It wasn't just my guide, Arthur, that would stand there. I loved it when Arthur would stand there and talk with me because he's so fascinating, and he used to tell me so many things, and I could ask him questions and get answers and things like that. It was absolutely brilliant. But then, you know, there are many other spirits that would turn up, and sometimes it was quite disruptive. And I think as a child, you don't have the boundaries that you have and assert as an adult. So as an adult, I'm quite confident in saying, hey, you're not the kind of spirit I want to interact with. Thank you. Please don't come back. I feel quite comfortable that I'm in charge. But as a kid, you don't feel that way. And managing the boundaries is much more challenging.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It really is. Actually, I was with Charlene at a seance. It was probably the year before last, so it was 2013. Arthur spoke through the trance mediumship. I have a recording of him speaking, and Coral Pold spoke as well. And a physical apport, a little stone, dropped through the ceiling into my hand. I've had it wrapped into a piece of jewelry. So that was a wonderful experience with Charlene.
Oh, fabulous. That's incredible. I love that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, guys. If you don't mind, I'd like to pop in here and just pass out the call-in number real fast so that our listeners can have that. The number to call in and get your free reading is 724-444-4851. Again, that number is 724-444-4851. We ask that you remain aware that each call will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. So just listen to the show while you wait. You'll still be able to hear it. And once you get on the air, try to be as direct as possible with your question, because we can only take one question per person, okay? And again, that number is 724-444-4851. Back to you, Steve.
Thank you for that, Stephen. Well, before we start taking calls, Stephen, I want to ask you about your views on life and death, the afterlife, reincarnation.
Well, you know, interestingly, I have kind of a laissez-faire attitude about that sort of thing. I don't know how to really explain it. It just seems to me, you know, life seems to me kind of like a game where, you know, the death and the period before birth are just sort of like, you know, brief little timeouts periods between rounds or what have you. I feel as if I see my existence holistically, not bounded and constrained by one puny lifespan. But, you know, just my life right now is just one cell in an entire body of cells, an entire body of other existences. I mean, it gets quite complicated, but it's a lot better than just, you know, going into the ground and not existing, or even better than going someplace and playing a harp, and, you know, or even better than going to a conventional paradise where there's, you know, McDonald's and all of the things that your body likes.
McDonald's in paradise?
Yeah, they're kind of antithetical, aren't they? But you might not believe it. It sounds insane, but this kind of seems to be the basis of modern spirituality. I mean, you know. The jury's still out on that one just yet for me, but it's leaning heavily in that direction. And, you know, the big comforting thing about shuffling the old mortal coil is that we'll find out. And I think that once we get there, you know, to proximity of that moment, I think there'll be a certain familiarity. It might be hard for us to put our finger on that familiarity, but when we get there, we'll have that very small feeling, probably as if we're being brought to a rite of passage that we've been brought to before, almost like graduation night.
Yeah.
Only well, a little more morbid.
I had an accident years ago, Stephen, and I passed. I was resuscitated a couple of times, but I passed. And, you know, I have to say to you, I recognized people from my family, and I recognized Arthur, but there were many, many, many entities there surrounding me, and I knew them all.
Yes.
I couldn't say, oh, this is Bill, or that's Joan. But I knew them all, and I knew that they knew me, and they were there for me. And I knew that these were all entities that I had a long history with through, you know, different ages, different lifetimes. It was just incredible.
Yeah, I think it helps to remember that we are immortal creatures. I mean, that's really the main thing that counts, is that we do somehow survive this in one way, shape, or form. And other than that, you know, I tend to be more interested, again, in the larger picture, like where does this particular life fit into the larger context. And I focus on living a good one now. I don't focus on death because, you know, I'm here in life right now. And up until the very end of that, I'm going to engage with life with every last shred of my will, which is considerable.
That's a great way of looking at it. I feel the same. That each day is to be cherished.
I love it while I have it. And when I have to let it go, I'll bid it a fond farewell and move on to the next episode. And maybe in the next episode, I'll be a villain. Don't you guys remember TV shows where, you know, the network tries to shake it up a little bit? And so, you know, the good guy is now kind of an anti-hero or villain. You know, that's an important spiritual part of your evolution as well.
Well, I was doing some channeled writing the other day, and one of the things that came out was this a statement, and it said at the end of time, everyone will have done everything to everyone else. That's why you're all equal.
Yeah, it's the spiritual equivalent of if you get a room full of monkeys banging away on a typewriter, they'll eventually produce the completed works of Shakespeare. You know, it's a spiritual version of that. You know, after you live 10,000 lifetimes, you're going to encompass the entire range of human experiences. You're going to spend time in the gutter. So, you know, keep that in mind the next time you see somebody laying in the gutter who's hungry and you want to pass judgment on him. Keep that in mind. You were there once, and you'll be there again. I guarantee you that. And you've also been the rich man up on the hill, metaphorically speaking. So keep that in mind when you're rich again, and you know your wealth goes to your head. So these are things. Death is the big equilibrator to keep us honed in on what's important. You know, the fact that we've been there before. And
I do have to say, I worry a little bit about food and wine. I do. I was thinking of this the other day because I was thinking, well, I really, really love good wine. I love good food. And in spirit, there's nothing physical. So what do you do for dinner?
You're not going to want dinner. That's the thing. In the spiritual realm, there's no hunger. There's no desire for any kind of food at all because you feast on the air, literally. And you become full from that. That's why yogis can meditate for months at a time. It's very interesting. I do believe we might have a call coming in actually now, Steve. I want to say we have a call coming in from Ohio. Oh, I'm sorry. I have a call coming from Virginia.
Okay.
Hello. Hello, Virginia. How are you?
Hello.
Hi. Who am I speaking with?
My name is Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie. How may I help you this evening?
A gentleman that I've been seeing that I care about very much, we're kind of on the outs because I broke it off for good reasons or my reasons. And just want to know if you see us being able to talk it out and get back on track.
Okay. Let's see. One second while I pick up on the situation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you'll be able to talk it back out, You know, the thing I worry about, though, is that there'll be a repeat of this problem. You know, that I don't see that as being a problem, being able to talk it back out with him. You know, I think what's really the issue here is why you broke up with him in the first place. So that's why it has to be, that's why it has to be dealt with first and foremost. Whatever, right now you're actually in a period of being pulled away from all of that. At least that's the direction you should be going in. That's the direction you're being encouraged to go in. And, you know, the impulse is to resist that. And it's scary to give in to it, but you have to trust your reasons for breaking it off with him in the first place. And I guarantee you, if you back off of those reasons, there'll be consequences for that down the road. Karmic, spiritual consequences that you won't be able to shake, because, you know, the root problems will still be at hand. Something, the thing inside of you that broke it off with him will be angry at you for doing that. And it'll just repeat it again, and the situation will just get worse, and it will erode. So you should trust your instinct and follow through with what you set out to do. And that's the direction that I'm picking up on is the absolute best one to go in. So, you know, will you get a chance to talk it out with him? I don't really think you will in the near future. The chances of talking to him again, having a conversation, I think go up as a little time passes and the new reality kind of sets in for everybody, and everybody gets a chance to get used to it. Then there'll be some conversation. So if you have some unresolved issues, they should be dealt with at that time. Okay, and that's what I'm picking up on for you, Stephanie.
Okay. Yeah, because I guess my thing was, are his feelings for me genuine? We just keep going through kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I'll tell you something, that cyclical nature, you know what it'll do? It'll make your pain sustainable. You don't want your pain to be sustainable, because then you'll hurt all the time. So, yeah, now you're being tugged in the opposite direction. Don't resist. Go along with the flow of the current, and God will be with you. Have faith. You'll be taken care of. I promise you that.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And I believe we do now have a caller from Ohio. Dr. Nuna Marie.
Hello, Ohio. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi. Yeah. Is this the Ohio fan club?
Yes. I was just wondering if you could see just things like lightening up for me, just not being so stressed with everything.
You're breaking up a little bit. If things are lightening up, in what way?
Yes, and just with all the stress going on with my family and just every, you know, just in general.
It actually feels to me that it's not until around June that things are going to lighten up. So if you don't want to go on medication, I'm kidding, but seriously, because there is a lot going on, I would really look at making an effort to put some fun into your life, like, things that make you happy, whether it's jumping rope or joining a quilting group or something like that, going for walks, feeding pigeons in the park. But that is the best stress reliever that I know. So you will need that. You will definitely need that. And one thing I'd say also is that you're overthinking everything. So you're thinking about your problems, and you're thinking about them some more, and you're thinking about them some more. What will really help right now is to get your mind off of them for periods of time, and then you can go back to thinking about how to solve your problems.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Okay. All right, sweetheart. Thanks for calling. Take good care of yourself.
Bye.
Thank you very much. You can find Dr. Nuna Marie at psychicaccess.com. Now we have a caller from Ohio. Or Steve.
Hi. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Have we lost Steve?
Hello?
Steve, are you there, man?
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, go ahead. Yes. Yes, Ohio. Okay. How may I help you? I'll take your call. How may I help you?
Okay. I have a question. I've had a really rough 2 years, and I was in a couple abusive relationships and kind of lost myself. I didn't know if you see me, like, refinding myself, having a better year.
Okay. Let's pick up on what the next year has in store for you, okay?
Yeah.
I have 1 second. Let me pick up on your situation here. Yeah, for sure. You're definitely going to refind your balance again, okay? You know, sometimes if you knock over a weeble wobble, it kind of is knocked off its center of gravity, and then it, you know, kind of overcorrects itself. I think that's the sort of period that you're in right now. But I'm going to tell you something. Not only are you going to regain balance, but you're going to regain a whole lot of wisdom. And so it's almost like you're in some sort of a class or curriculum, you know, and at the end of the term, you're going to get an A. That's whatever you've got going on in your life, if it's challenging or if it's frustrating in any way, I think you're going to discover that in a year's time, you're going to be smarter, stronger, and more effective in doing whatever it is that you're doing. And this is going to start right now. And I'll tell you something, it's going to be harder for people to lie to you. What you're developing here is a spiritual force that can actually do work in the real world. So this is the attitude that you should confront challenges with, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Just sort of scanning it for the next 12 months for any challenges. Month number 8 could be difficult. It could be a month of hostility, perhaps, or bickering with coworkers or friends. But nothing at all difficult. Or nothing that you couldn't handle, for instance.
Okay.
Absolutely. Month number 4 looks like a month that is going to maybe shake up the routine in a positive way. I feel like you're going to be introduced in the next 12 months to new money making opportunities. The energy of money as a whole is low, but the energy of intelligence with money is very, very, very high and well-developed. My judgment on this matter is that you're not going to get rich in the next year, but you're going to discover some way to improve your material reality very soon and very well. Are you following me on that?
Yeah.
This year it's not going to be the breakout year, but it's going to be the year in where you find a system that works for you that will get you ahead in the way you want to get ahead. You're going to start expanding after this.
Somebody who's not abusive?
Ma'am?
Do you see me meeting somebody who's not abusive?
That is harder to have a good forecast on. And quite frankly, towards the end of the year, I see a gentleman. I don't know if he's going to be coming back or if he's someone new, but you'll recognize him when you see him. You've probably had dealings with a person of this type before, and he'll be quite aggressive, maybe athletic, maybe in law enforcement or crime, one of the two. You know, just very aggressive. And that's month number 9 from here, you know, kind of pressed for time. So, don't want to count, but February, you know, 9 months from now is when he's going to come into play. But really, as far as that goes, it's mainly females. Month number 2, it's going to be a jealous female. Month number 6 from now, also, it's going to be a female who needs a lot of attention. That female could be you, which is not bad, which is because I think, again, this next 12 months, you're going to be expanding a lot. All right, so that's what I have for you this evening.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
You have a great night.
All right, we have a caller from New Jersey for Dr. Nona Marie.
Hello, New Jersey, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, what's your name?
I was calling to see, do you see my finances getting better and better?
Oops, say that again. You're breaking up.
I was calling to see my finances getting better. I had a change of finance.
You're asking if your finances will get better?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I had to ask that because you were breaking up there. It feels to me that at the end of March, there will be a good change in your finances. Here's what it feels like. It's kind of a weird roller coaster ride. It feels like there's something like a new job or a new financial situation for you, but it will then crash and burn. In other words, it will not work out. But then after that, there will be a second situation that will not be quite as lucrative for you, but it will still be very, very good. So it's almost like you're going to get this little teaser of money coming in, and then it's going to fall apart. So don't give up, because right after that, there's going to be a second wave coming in for you. One thing I would say is that your energy is a little like you're like a wire pulled too tight. And that's going to have a big impact on what's coming in. So the more you can, I know people find this kind of funny advice, but when we are really having a hard time or we're very anxious, one of the few good things that really works is play. Healthy play, not drinking, not partying, but literally playing, because that shifts our energy. So, you know, go to an amusement park, go to a party, you know, do some things to shake your energy up and release the panic. It's almost like I get the picture of when someone's in an ocean and they think they're drowning and the lifeguard comes, they struggle with the lifeguard because they're so panicked already. They don't realize it's the help coming. And that's the picture I get with you a little bit, that you're struggling a little bit. Or sometimes if you have a dog in deep water and you come to get them and they're so panicked, they scratch you because they're too scared to realize the help is here. So that feels like a very serious warning for you of that you need to shift your energy a little bit. And I would strongly suggest play to do that. And that will help all of this to roll in much more smoothly. Ultimately, the outcome is very good, though. But it is going to scare you, that wave that comes and goes.
Okay. Cause my concern is, like, not having enough money to pay my mortgage. Like, I'm living paycheck to paycheck. No money in the bank.
Yes. You are going to make it through all of this. You might go into a little tiny bit of debt, more than perhaps you are now, but you will then pull out of it. You're going to white knuckle it, for sure. You are going to be biting your fingernails. There's no question. But you are coming out of it on top of the situation. And if it was going to go steadily downhill, I would totally warn you about that, because I do not believe in, you know, fake positive hope when it's not there. If it's going to be hard, it's going to be hard. So I think you're going to white knuckle it, but I think you're going to be good. But you definitely need a little, you know, to get your mind off of this stuff a little bit.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So just hang in there. Hang in there. Help is on the way.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. All right.
Bye-bye. All right, sweetheart. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Dr. Nona Marie. You can find Dr. Nona Marie at psychicaccess.com. I have a caller now from Virginia. Hello, Virginia.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. You're speaking to Dee. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you. I hope you're doing well, too.
Well, I am. Trying to stay positive. My question is pertaining to work. I am not employed at the moment. Just calling in to see exactly the job in my way.
Okay. What the job out looks like. The job outlook. I'll tell you what. You know, I'm kind of getting like relationship energy now. Not romance relationship, but in the context of this question. Relationship is going to be like business relationship. And so my thinking is that part of the problem is in your area, maybe obviously things like the local businesses that might hire you are kind of conservative right now and tightening up on their budgets in a way that's bad. You know, there's no relationships for you to make with employers right now. Now, also it's good in the sense of it's going to change. It's not going to remain the same forever. Your main problem right now, obviously, is to kind of survive this crunch period. I'm getting the impression that there really aren't that many attractive choices, which sort of makes it difficult. Maybe one of the hard things in an environment like this where the choices aren't so attractive, you know, you might have to kind of compromise a little bit on what jobs you apply to just in the short term to keep some cash flow coming in. And also, there's another pressure, another possibility as well, and that is entrepreneurial development and activity to advance one's own enterprise. If you have those leanings, and if you don't worry about it. But, you know, some people, they like to do you know, all sorts of entrepreneurial things, selling this, selling that, Avon or what have you, or some other business idea. This is the day and age of the internet after all. And, you know, lots of educational materials in case there are any learning curves that you have to knock out. But you're obviously also interested in normal employers too. Sure. And again, you know, that I'm just getting the impression there's just not attractive options out there right now. And I really think that you're going to have to get quite aggressive in looking for them in terms of widening out your search, in terms of increasing the number of resumes and applications that you send out. I think that's really going to be the only thing you can do to shorten the wait, because the option's just not out there. You're going to have to increase your circle. However big that circle is right now, your territory, you're just going to have to increase it. It's, unless you're willing to compromise on the type of job that you're looking for. You following me?
Okay. Well, thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, yes. Best of luck to you. Thank you. Okay. Let's see. We have a call for Dr. Nona Marie from California.
Hello, California. What's your name, please?
My name is Valerie.
Hi, Valerie. How can I help you?
You know what? It's been a while that I went on a date, and I finally went out on a date, and it was really good energy, and I felt it was a good connection, and mm-hmm. then got a Dear John, and, you know, little restless nights, but just don't understand. Other than maybe, you know, of course, maybe it's not meant to be. But, you know, I'm really connected, and I don't know why.
You know, I don't think there's a big mystery here. I think that this is a person with a lot of baggage, by the way. So, honestly, I think you were saved, even though you don't feel like it right now. And because he has some baggage, he is constantly comparing people to an old relationship. So he's not really available to meet a new person. I mean, he thinks he is, but he's not. So what he's always doing is just looking at, is this the same? Did I feel the same, etc.? So honestly, this is really nothing about you. And I think that if you had gone out with him for a period of time, you would have ended it anyway, because of this emotional baggage that he has going on. Also, in some ways, though, you have a very lighthearted side to yourself. You also have a very serious side. And I think you would have found this person a little too superficial for you, a little too glossing over things in the long run. So I would say for you that the lesson in all of this is that your heart is very open and you're very ready for a relationship. And that's good news. That's like, you know, you're kind of up and running. Your vibes are open to receive somebody. In which case, be a little bit careful that you don't swing. Sometimes the pendulum swings from we shut down to we open up too much. And then we just go for anything. So I would say trust the universe. The universe took him away. Trust it. Don't take it personally. I have always found out that when friends or potential romances have left my life, a year later, 2 months later, I'm kind of kissing the earth that that person was taken out of my life, because it turns out there was something about them that wasn't good for me at all. And I think that was the case here. I think that around July that you will find somebody that is really great for you. I don't think you'll be alone until then. I think that you'll meet maybe one or two people, maybe one other person who will kind of be a blowout, a second person who will be nice to date for a while, and then but won't really go anywhere. And then there'll be a third person around July that will be great for you. There's a little bit of a lag in here, and that's so your energy can get a little bit better balanced out regarding romance. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? What I'm saying to you, understand?
Oh, yeah, I think you're right on, and I really appreciate that. And, you know, I look forward to it. And, you know, it's not something you could push. You just, it's got to be something that just, like you said, the universe brings your way.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, we try to be detached, but, you know, I get the same way. I get cranky. I get to be a whining little 3-year-old for a day or two, and then usually I find out that the universe, not usually, I always find out the universe has much better taste for me than I have for me.
Mm-hmm. I love it, because you know what, you said it so perfectly. You know, it's just, you know, we live in this world, and, you know, it just kind of wants to consume us, but, you know, actually we're very sweet and soft inside, and we just can't take it personal, like you said.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's hard not to. It is hard not to. So, you know, I always look, there's a wonderful saying in 12-step meetings, we look for progress, not perfection. So the fact that you, you know, got a little bit dinged in your heart by this for a short period of time is a lot of growth, because in the past, you used to take things much more personally and needed a lot more recovery time. So also look at these things to see how much stronger you've gotten, how much you have changed in the last 2 years, especially.
I will do that. I really appreciate you and taking the time and your
insight.
You're
welcome. Well, we thank you for calling in and hope you stay in touch.
Oh, definitely.
All right, sweetheart. Have a good evening.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for calling. You can find Dr. Nona Marie Foyer at psychicaccess.com. Now, we have a caller from Illinois for Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from Illinois?
Hi, I'm Sophia. How
Hello,
are you?
Sophia, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. What does the universe say for me in regards to a healthy romance relationship?
So, say that again for me, Silva. I heard romance. I didn't catch the full sentence.
I'm ready for a healthy romance relationship. What is my outlook? What is who's ready to come into my space, my universe?
Okay. Well, I do honestly feel that you have made good progress. I feel that, you know, you feel much more comfortable in yourself and much more comfortable socially. Your confidence has increased. Your self-esteem is much better. And this is key to us manifesting a good, healthy relationship, because what you resonate will be the primary ingredient in your manifestation. So if we're resonating low self-esteem, then generally we manifest a relationship that reinforces low self-esteem. But if we feel good, as you're feeling right now, then you are far more likely to manifest a partner that is somebody that can offer you what you're looking for. I feel that the person that comes into your life is also quite confident, quite an outgoing character. I feel that astrologically this person would have quite a lot of fire in their charts. They may have a Sagittarian sun sign, for example, or an ascendant in Leo. So this is somebody that's feeling good, somebody that knows what they want, and somebody that will be very clear to you about wanting to be with you. This is not somebody that's indifferent or that will say, oh, you know, I'm not sure, let's take it slowly, I don't know where I am or what's right for me at this point in time. This is somebody that's confident, knows what they want. Sorry?
You mean somebody like with a lot of excuses? I'm not looking for that.
No, somebody that's really got it together, and somebody that's clear about what they want. Somebody that's clearly able to say, I am ready for a relationship and I want to be with you.
Right.
So this person will be quite assertive, quite direct about wanting to be with you, wanting to claim you as their partner. So I feel positive about it. I feel that you're likely to meet this person in the spring, and I feel it's earlier in spring rather than later in spring. But I feel once we get to the middle of summer, that the relationship will be going very well, that you'll feel very comfortable with this person. You'll have gotten to know each other over 2 or 3 months, 4 months maybe. And I feel that the outlook is good. This is also somebody that's quite unusual, a good, sharp mind, good intellect. So somebody that's very knowledgeable, interesting to interact with. So you'll have a great intellectual connection, lots to talk about. And also, I would say, though, that somebody that is stable emotionally, that is pretty organized and has got it together in life. So it feels good to me.
Oh, good. So this will happen like in the spring, like coming up?
I found to spring, but I feel it's in the summertime that you will be, you know, really clear that this is a good relationship for you, that this is a good partner for you.
So I'll meet him in the spring, and then we'll get more comfortable in the summer.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I feel that the other person's going to be very clear from the outset that they want to be with you, but I feel that you're likely to take a little bit more time over it. So you're likely to slow it down a little bit. But I feel that in the summer, in the height of the summer, you'll be comfortable and very, very engaged in this relationship. That's what I feel for you.
I'm going to meet him by just like by happenstance, just like being at the right place at the right time?
I feel that you meet this person through friends. So it's important that you socialize. It's important that you get out there in the world and that you're socializing, you're meeting people. Because as I said, I feel that this person comes through friends or some kind of community involvement.
Okay. Somebody's going to introduce him to me.
Sorry?
Somebody's going to introduce him to me?
I feel that that's the case, yeah. Either a friend introduces you or you're out socializing with friends and you meet him.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's good to know. It's going to happen in the spring. That's in about at least 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not far away. Not far away. And it feels good. You deserve it. You really do. You've had quite aggressive partners in the past, people that are just too much about themselves and not enough about other people in the relationship. And that's something that obviously needs to change. You know, we want someone that's strong but that's gentle at the same time. And so that's what you're looking for, and I feel confident that that's what you get. We wish you all the best.
Yes, thank you. I hope this person is ready.
It does feel that way to me. I don't feel that we're looking at somebody that is all confused or unsure of what they want. This is somebody that's pretty clear what they want, okay?
Right.
So we wish you lots of luck.
All right, then, thank you.
My pleasure. Take care.
Okay. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Steve, for that reading. You can find Steve Frampton at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a caller from South Dakota. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing this evening?
Not too well. I just been through a most harrowing experience, and so I guess my question is, what do you see as the outcome? I've had severe accusations, just vicious gossip, rumors, or whatever. It kind of tore my world apart. Been working for 30 years and getting going to work one more year and retire. And this is so vicious. I'm just ready to quit right now. I don't, you know, it's going to throw me into total disgrace and stuff. So what do you see as, you know, the outcome? I'm not even hardly to the point where I'm even examining, you know, what am I supposed to learn from all this?
Well, I'll tell you something. I don't think the impact to your material security and reputation will be as bad as you fear it will be. First of all, let me say that. I don't think that your material security or your standing in the community and among your peers and relatives and loved ones and friends, etc., I don't see that as changing radically either. However, I do know that you are in a period of radical transformation, but you know, I see it as being more of a positive thing. The impression I'm getting here is that if I were to talk to you 6 months from now or a year from now, you would tell me, Stephen, you know what? Those troubles that I called you about, I'm so glad that they happened because they sort of lofted me into this very nice season, into this very nice area. So it might be hard to realize now, but what I think this transformation cycle is doing is kind of clearing out a bunch of the old leaves from your, you know, storm gutters in preparation. All the old stuff is out and in preparation for the new growth that's going to come. Now, that said, I still remain pretty sure that your financial reality won't be too impacted. And again, your reputation won't suffer as many blemishes as you might think it will.
My work reputation or just among my relatives?
Well, among, like, everything, especially work. You're not going to lose any credibility, in terms of your capacity and skills, for example. You're not going, I don't see you getting really so much fired. Now, what I'm focusing on more, what's coming through loud and clear to me more, is the optimism and the happiness of the change itself. You know, I'm not promising you that you're not going to get snagged on some thorns here. I want to be quite clear about that. What I am saying is that once you're out of the thorn bush, you're not going to have as many scratches as you thought you would have. And the territory on the other side of the thorn bush is a heck of a lot better than the territory that was on the side the side you just left. It'll be worth going through the thorn bush, believe it or not. What this is about, I think, is rumors are illusory. You know, they're inherently deceptive, and they're not, rumors. There's something about rumors that are just deceitful. And I think this situation has a lot of fog around it where other people might not can see clearly what's going on. I think this fog will be lifted. So I see you not only surviving this, but thriving through it. And I want you to have faith and strength going through whatever challenges are going to come ahead, because you'll be better off. You'll prevail. I guarantee you that.
Okay. It's just kind of torn me apart because I've worked, you work all your life and then you're ready to retire and then tears it all away from you.
Yeah, I know. I know it's scary. And it's hard to have faith when you have so much at stake, so much is on the line, and you call someone on a radio show, and it's hard to have faith in that. I understand. I wish, though, that when you do worry about this in the future, because calling me tonight is not going to stop you from worrying about this in the future. Let's admit that up front. You're still going to stay up late at night about this. But when you do, when that happens, I want you to remember my words. You are going to prevail, and you're going to be a different person. There's the person that you are now, and this is scary, is going to be no more. You're going to be a better person because of this. And all that you've worked for, all that you've tried to accumulate and accomplish in life, it's hard for me to find a negative story on that. I just don't see anything threatening. In fact, I'm getting a very clear message that there is no instability there, that, in fact, there is not going to be any sudden or unexpected changes to your money or to your reputation even. So, sure, let them slander you. Let them accuse. My judgment is that your reputation will stand up to the test and bear it and survive.
Okay.
The people will not be able to make their case against you.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if it's in a court of law. Doesn't matter if it's in a boardroom. Doesn't matter if it's in the boss's office. Doesn't matter if it's with your parents or your children. They will not be able to make the case. Okay.
Okay. Right. Thanks.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Good night.
Yes, ma'am. Good night. Okay, we have a caller now from New York for Dr. Nona Moreno.
Hello, New York. Who is this?
Hi. My name is Sonia in New York City. Hi.
Hi, Sonia. You don't sound like a New Yorker.
Boarding school, yeah. Okay. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. How can I help you?
I wanted to know if I will be a successful writer this year.
Writer?
Yes.
It does not feel to me like this year on your own as a writer that's going to be happening. It feels like that's about 2 years away still. Does feel to me like, are you writing for another company, or are you thinking about doing writing for someone else at all?
I was thinking about publishing my own books.
Right. Okay. But it does feel to me that there's something there about you having to write for someone else. I don't know if it's a column or journalism or something, but there's something there about you working
first as a writer, but not writing your own book. I mean, you can write your own book, but in terms of that taking off, in terms of you establishing yourself as your own person, writer, that's about 2 years down the road. I do not know why the it's necessary for you to work as a writer for someone else, but that's the message that I'm getting, is that that is something important for you to do. It's not so much where you work, like you could end up working right now, say if you were just writing a column for a fashion magazine or a travel log or something, or a blog for somebody's website, that would be an important experience for you to have. That's the message I'm getting for you. If you ask me, I don't understand why that message is for you. That's what my guides are telling me. So I would say, look around. If that is meant to be, look around for that kind of work. If it's meant to be, it'll just come and get you. It'll fall into your lap with you looking for it.
Wow. And, thank you.
Yeah, and work on the book. And I do think that you will have some minor success with a book. I think there will be a second publication. And the second publication will do something and loop back to the first publication and reignite that. So don't get discouraged.
Oh, wow. That's exciting. Thank you. That's all
right,
really
sweetheart.
Affirming.
And while you're writing, make sure you keep taking care of your body. Sometimes you get a little obsessive and you forget that you live in a human body.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Right? I know. So don't do that, because you need to take care of your body as well as writing. All right?
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Thank you, Dr. Nona Marie.
Yeah, thanks for calling, and stay in touch.
Thank
I want to know what happens to you.
I will. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Thank you very much for calling, and thank you, Dr. Nona Marie, for that reading. You can find Dr. Nona Marie at psychicaccess.com. Now, we have a caller from Massachusetts for Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from Massachusetts?
Hello?
Hi there. What's your name?
Hi, I'm Sarah Yee.
Sorry, what's your name?
It's like Sarah with an E at the end, Sarah Yee.
Okay, Sarah, great. Well, thank you for calling. What's your question for us, Sarah?
Oh, there's this guy that I met last year that I had a strong connection with. His name is Josh, but I'm not sure what's going to be happening this year, if I should move on or if he will reach out to me or something. It's just, I just really need to know if I need to let go.
I do feel that he reaches out to you, but I feel it's later this year. I feel it's the last quarter of this year. But I don't feel inclined to say that you should wait or put life on hold for Josh. I just don't feel the timing is quite right. And I actually feel that when you hear from Josh in the last quarter of this year, you'll be with somebody else.
Oh, I see. So will it be like a choice I will have to make between two people?
I do feel that Josh will express an interest, but I don't feel that he's ready for a relationship. And I don't feel that he'll be ready for a relationship even at the back end of this year. So I feel, actually, I've just been given the name Mark. So remember the name Mark, because the name Mark is important in the future. And let's see, just for your information, you've got a gentleman here in spirit that passed in the month of September, and 1957 was a really important year in his life. I feel like this gentleman's got darker hair, and he's very, very fond of you, and he's saying, you know, you don't need to rush. It doesn't have to be now, and it doesn't have to be Josh, and you have many opportunities. You've got so much to offer. And you're very smart, very creative, wonderful with words. And he's saying, take your time, don't rush. But in October, you'll understand why things have unfolded the way they have. But I do feel that there's a great relationship for you. And as I said, I don't feel that you should just wait for Josh, okay?
Yeah. This new person coming into the picture, is it going to be like a friendship or relationship, or
for you with Josh, or
Like someone new coming in.
Somebody new, yeah. And it is a relationship. And I feel that you'll be in that relationship probably by October, late September, October of this year. But when you hear from Josh, you'll already be in a relationship. But it's fine.
Oh, I see. Well,
yeah. But you need to move. You need to live life. You need to move forward.
Okay. I hope everything turns out okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Steve, and thank you very much for calling in. You can find Steve Frampton at psychicaccess.com. We've now come to the end of yet another wonderful show. We'd like to thank the Reverend Charlene Hicks for joining us tonight. Would also like to thank our executive producer, Doug C., who toils behind the scenes to keep us all on track and to help us with our vision in bringing these shows to you. I'd like to thank Dr. Nona Marie Foyer and Stephen Frampton, psychic medium and hermetic astrologer, for making this show absolutely insightful. You can find them, again, at psychicaccess.com. Next week, I'll have Jesse Ann Nichols George on to discuss angels and Vikings. Don't miss it. See you next week.
Hello, my name is Rez Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.